Oh, thank you, Father, for those words. And Dad's tongues with interpretation is a part of the teaching too. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the sharing, about how should you approach a king? Philippians 4:4-7 shows you how you approach a king. Oh, I got some complaints. No, you don't go to a judge like that. You know, even a judge, Your Honor, you address nice or something like that. And Yahweh goes and he explains this. And when we go before him, how you present your case is very important. Honor, respect, and faith. But that's rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Tonight's teaching is going to be an invitation for everybody to read this paper, Royal Gems in Yahweh's Temple, ateliosministries.com. And it's going to unveil two words that there are no equivalents to in English or in the Spanish. And you wouldn't know. And, you would, how people use words teaches you who the entity is. What are they like? And certain things that somebody's always talking about sports or something like that. And there's certain words that Yahweh uses to describe himself. And, well, we don't have an equivalent to that. Well, let's just take a look at one of these words. An example of it is going to be, in the paper, it's going to talk about Eskimos, people in Hawaii didn't have a word for snow. Okay, and they had the same problem in Kenya, and it doesn't make it right. This is supposed to be the infallible word of God. This is the word of God. Satan will flee. You can beat him up with this. Problem is most translations aren't. And in Kenya, they're teaching the Maasai, he will wash your sins as white as snow. They have no word for snow, so they say as milk.
Oh, yeah.
And so the problem is you have to have a footnote because he doesn't say milk. Milk is not even in the word. So you have to have a footnote that he's talking about snow. Okay, so what is snow? I don't know what snow is. But that's how you transliterate. But the Raham, it's going to explain there's this word called Raham, Yahweh's word. Rotherham is going to translate it compassion many times, and the word does not mean compassion, but he will stay consistent. So every time you see this word compassion, it means Raham. And then there's other words that are also translated this word Raham too. And one of the translations for the word Raham is the womb. And you start reading about the womb, learning about how this word is used. It starts painting a whole other relationship. On Facebook, I've seen some pictures of gorillas, these big silverback gorillas, and its own babies pulling on its hair.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Argh." Yeah. What is that? Could a human baby get on the back of a silverback?
No.
Would it let somebody that was not from his own loins do that? No. You'll see it with lions, dudes, cubs chewing on its ear. And there's a big king of the lion pride being mauled only by its own cubs. And that, I think that could be an illustration of what Raham could be. And the teaching tonight, I'm not defining the word Raham. I'm trying to use it like an illustration to point out a relationship that is available to us with our Father. But so here, I have a picture of a baby inside of a womb. Underneath it, there's a term called the eye of the storm. Would somebody, could you just read what it says?
A thing resembling an eye in appearance, shape, or relative position. The calm region at the center of a storm or hurricane, eye of the hurricane. The smaller the eye, the more intense the wind.
So that's just a snapshot, but it's going to explain over here in hurricanes. I studied hurricanes in college. And you can see in this picture, it's going counterclockwise. And can you imagine how confusing this would have been for settlers coming from Great Britain? How many hurricanes have in Great Britain? Probably not many. Then you move to North Carolina, South Carolina, because if you're at the top of this and the hurricane's coming from the south, it's going to hit you from this direction. It's going to be coming from, I guess it would be from the west. And then if it passes directly over you, all of a sudden the storm's over. No, it's not over. It's going to come again, but it's not going to come from the west. It's going to come from the east. Boom!
Oh, I didn't know.
And so it's an anomaly. They're going, what? Can you imagine? They didn't have satellites back then. How do you explain this? Would that seem diabolical?
Yeah.
Oh, we got held up, but we finally got then boom, hits the other walls. But within the eye of the storm, there's a calm. this is a natural disaster back at K-State University. They talk about that. You don't even know that you're in a storm, but you'll see the destruction, what the storm did. And what a great illustration for the Christian life, because in this world, there's spiritual wars that are going on that we don't see what's going on. And I'm so thankful that I don't see. I don't want to see everything that's going on. But spiritually, there's hurricanes everywhere. And if we walk within the eye of the storm, we'll be fine. And in the eye of the storm, we'll see people, victims, and we'll take care of them. But only if it's in the eye of the storm. The problem is, with this metaphor, is that there'll be people inside the storm screaming for help. If you leave the eye of the storm, now you're another victim. You didn't help anybody. But just good illustrations, because underneath it is the pillar of Yahweh. And Yahweh's pillar would be just the opposite of this. As long as they abode with Yahweh, it didn't matter who they were surrounded by. They were underneath Yahweh's umbrella, like a chicken. Yahweh talked about that with it. How I would have brought you in like a chicken with his little baby chicks to protect you. But it's just like a reverse, this pillar. And Yahweh has this relationship, the creator of the universe, to treat us as his own children. But great illustrations, I thought, of this peace. And with this peace inside the eye of the storm or underneath the pillar, today I want to use these things to show you what Raham is. Raham, the womb. There's a special word. And before we go there, what you read the first usage. Now, that this teaching is not on Raham. But if you want to see the... If you want an appreciation for this word, you got to read this paper. It's a short paper. It explains, here's this word, here's all the different usages. Here's this word used as a noun. What's a noun? Person, place, or thing. Well, here's where it's used as a verb. What's a verb?
Action.
It's describing something, okay? So the first usage, if somebody would read that, it's Strong's number 07358.
The deep inner familial bond resulting in a beneficial action or verb that helps the family member that is in need.
Yeah, and that definition is actually from this paper. And so, Vero moved here from Argentina, and she uses words different than anybody else. Some people will say, I love you, only to 3 or 4 people. That's it. They never use it. How they use it shows you about that word. Some people might never say, I love you, but they say, my heart beats for you. They're communicating. And so, the deep inner familial bond is trying to explain what this word means. How? Why? Based off the usage. And as I looked up some other things about the word Raham, it said it's the feeling that a mother and father have for their newborn child. What is that? What is that bond? If you've never had children, maybe you can feel it in some other place. Yeah, I know you can, because Yahweh will say he'll give you Raham with certain people. And he did that. He did that with Daniel. He did it with Joseph. These things. It didn't specifically say he did with Daniel, but when all of a sudden these guys look at Daniel and go, I gotta take care of this guy. What is that? And you can imagine the power as if that you'd say, hey, I'm going into a job interview, or I'm going into court. You say, Yahweh, give me Raham with the judge, so that when the judge sees you, he looks at you like you're the grandson that he raised from a toddler, that he taught how to walk. Would that be an advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Now he doesn't just see you as a person. He sees you, and he's got this, we're connected through the womb. And so here's this word. The first usage is going to be, it's on this paper, Exodus 33, and this is the first usage as a verb. Somebody read Exodus 13, 18 through 19.
And he showed me, and he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. That's Moses. And he said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee, and will proclaim myself by the name Yahweh before thee, and will show favor unto whom I will show favor, and will have Raham on whom I may have Raham.
And think about this word Raham, because it's going to say compassion, but Rothman is giving you a hint. There's a very special word here. There is no equivalent. But think about the power of being able to have somebody look at you like their own child. You ever seen that? Mm. I mean, I had no idea until I had a son. I'm like, what is this? I had Rahan, I'm looking at this kid that all he does is take. He just takes. He's funny. But even when he's funny, it's because he's got a special connection with the other people. Think he might act like a brat. You have nieces and nephews. Other people think they're a brat. Oh, but that's just how they are. But there's how powerful is this? Yahweh gives us an opportunity that he says that if you obey my word, that you can have that relationship with him. And what I want to do is kind of paint a picture. Here's Moses going, I just want to show me your face. Show me your glory. And here's Moses going to ask for anything. And Moses, if anybody was focused on the resurrection, all these crying babies everywhere, they're going to stone me. They're complaining because of this and this and that. This life is this long, Moses. There's going to be a resurrection. Boss, show me your glory. And Yahweh goes, I'm going to show you Raham. What's Raham? And boom, Yahweh. As a noun, you turn to Genesis chapter 20, verse 18. We don't, as somebody, the first usage as a noun, if somebody read Genesis 20, verse 18.
For Yahweh had restrained from bearing Raham, every female of the house of Abimelech, because of Sarah, the wife of
Abimelech. So here's the same word that he had restrained from Raham, bringing forth. How important is it to have children? That's powerful. And then in verse 17, somebody read 17 and 18.
Because I was not slain from the Raham, nor did my mother become my grave, nor was her womb grave forever. Wherefore it was that from the Raham I came forth, to seek labor and pain, and that in shame should my... That's it.
So, what is this word? As a verb, it can mean the womb. And Yahweh ties us that there's a word hesed, and it's obligatory covenant that Yahweh says that if you do this, I have to do that. Why would he ever obligate himself to his creation? It makes me think of David go, who am I? Now, David's not comparing himself with all the rest of the people. Who am I that you would obligate yourself to me? That you have to do it if I do this? What kind of creator would do that? And he says that to Moses, I'm an Elohim. He said, I'll obligate myself to do these things if you're obedient. And Raham, Moses, think about Moses entering in Yahweh's womb, his womb, and you can keep reading, and it's going to keep going on about womb and womb and womb. And the next illustration to me, if you ever heard a word of promise about Joseph, is I would encourage you to read it. It's going to show Raham used with Joseph. So Genesis, somebody would read 43 through 14, and just read this other illustration. And this, I just took this from the paper.
Where's 43?
29.
That's the last paragraph.
Genesis 43:14. The context of the verse is that Joseph, as Pharaoh's second in command, demands that Benjamin be brought to Egypt. Then Israel, their father, said unto them, if so, then do this. Take the song of the land in your vessels and carry down to the man, Joseph, a present. A little balsam and a little honey, dragon gum and sistrus gum, pistachio nuts and almonds, and double silver take in your hand, also the silver that was put back in the mouth of every sack carry ye in the hand, peradventure it was an error. Your brother also take ye, and rise up, go again unto the man, and El Shaddai give you Raham before the man.
So now even if we read that, what is he asking that goes before this man? Yahweh, give them Raham. Okay, now, wow. So that when they see my sons, it's like they're seeing their own sons. Is there a difference between President Trump seeing me and seeing Barron Trump? Mm-hmm. Think about Raham when Yahweh, when Yehoshua was baptized. He said, this is my son. Mm-hmm. in whom I am well pleased. That's Raham. Today I've begotten you. And so here's, he's going to go before him and Yahweh give him Raham. What a great word for us to ask when people are going to battle, or they're going to litigate, or you're going to teach, or you're going into missionary work and you're called to go into something very dangerous or complex. You know what makes this thing very easy? Is if you had Raham. Yeah, so let's just, you're an Elohim of Raham. We are being obedient. I didn't know to even ask for this until recently. Now I thank you for your Raham upon us. I thank you for your Raham upon President Trump and President Malay. Even on their enemies to look at them with your Raham. Okay, so if you go back and finish where I stopped you, yeah, give you Raham.
Yeah.
Joseph.
See here. Yeah. So shall he send with you your other brother and Benjamin. But as for me, when I am bereaved, I am bereaved. The second use of Raham as a noun is in Genesis 43:30, where Yosef is overwhelmed with Raham toward his brethren. The verse states, and Yosef made haste, for his Raham toward his brother was pent up, and he sought to weep, so he went into the inner chamber and wept.
What just happened?
Yeah.
That was Israel's petition. Give him Raham.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
So he says, may El Shaddai give your brothers Raham before this man. You always wonder, what is this sifting between this trickery? Strike that from the record. I shouldn't say trickery. The process of venting that Joseph does with his brothers, what is this? But when you start understanding Raham, or all of a sudden he looks at them, I remember my brother Guy and my sister Rachel were driving me nuts. They're siblings, right? Anybody you live with, and they irritate me. And I was at the office, and Guy, my brother Guy, keeps doing this, and Rachel, oh my goodness, both of them are irritating me. And while I'm at the office, my dad's computer comes out and it shows my older brother as a 6-year-old laughing. And all of a sudden, there's a knife in my heart. I'm not seeing them like that.
Yeah.
This is could be like Raham. And all of a sudden, shortly after, there's my little bitty sister is a 4-year-old, like a video. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. How could I do? What am I even thinking? I repent. So there's Joseph with Raham. You can imagine. Here's his brothers. The Levitical law, which hadn't been written yet, said they should have been put to death. Joseph doesn't know what to do. Joseph told Pharaoh, he goes, when Pharaoh says, can you interpret dreams? Not unto me does it pertain, but unto Elohim. Yahweh will. But during the process, all of a sudden, Joseph is broken. What did Yahweh want out of this? He wanted his family back together. And he had to clean up the other tribes. You guys are wicked. You are so evil, you've never repented. And here's Yahweh looking at his kids going, you're going to get busted. And what does Yahweh do? He heals Joseph, and he sobers up the other ones all at once. What a beautiful story. I'm going to try not to ruin this by getting too far ahead of myself. So maybe I should just read. Inside the Raham, the baby has everything he wants and does not want to leave its comfort. But why is the baby in the Raham? Why was the baby created? Is the purpose of the baby to stay isolated and comfortable? What would the mother and the father say to the child if they could speak to it when they found out it doesn't want to come out of the womb? They would laugh. In fact, they do laugh when the baby comes screaming out of the womb. The mother and their father, they see this screaming and crying baby, and they laugh.
With joy.
With joy. Cry. They know the purpose of the baby is not to be comfortable. The purpose of the baby is a relationship with its parents and its creator, which requires it to come out of the Raham, the womb. So are each one of us living aside the womb comfort? Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. Yahweh calls us out of the womb, comfort, each day to seek his womb, which is his Raham. You think about that. What innately, naturally, are we instinct with? Well, I want to have a good retirement. I want a house. I want to be safe. I want to be comfortable. where I can't lose anything. There's a desire inside every human being to go back to the womb. Yeah. I got my food, got my shelter, I'm warm, I'm not cold, everything's the same that I want it, and we still have that. We have this desire that I want to be protected, I want all these things, and Yahweh shows us that the purpose of our life is to get back into his womb. A man entering back into the womb. Nicodemus said, can a man go back into the mother's womb? And I think from the scriptures, that's the purpose of our existence. It's to step into Yahweh's womb. Because when we are obedient and we are inside of his womb, does this baby have any idea where its mother's going?
No.
Did Isaac have any idea what was going on? Did Isaac know his mom's an old lady? No. How about John the Baptist? I just go wherever mom goes. But the difference is, there's no freedom of will. And without freedom of will, there's no relationship. And the purpose of our existence is, 2 Corinthians 5:5-15, but it is to live for Yahweh in Christ. And each day we get a chance to enter into his raham. And how do you do it? You do the scriptures. If you say you know Yahweh in your scriptures, he's in this room. And somebody says, I have raham with Yahweh, and you stab him in the back every other day. Yeah. He's right here. But if you say, teach me, show me, he gives us an opportunity to enter into the raham, into this womb with him. So Abraham wandered the desert not knowing where he was going. He was, for this teaching, I'm gonna suggest that he was entering into the raham. Yahweh's going this way. You want his raham? He's going this way. He said to Peter, be following me, right? Mm-hmm. What did Peter have when he was with Christ? He had everything he needed, and there was still a lot of dissidence. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. But he followed him. I'm reading Jeremiah 29:11. You know that? I never realized that Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody know this? Can you quote it? Mm-hmm. I know the plans that I have for you.
Say it.
It's very famous. I know the plans that I have for you to comfort you, not to harm you. What's the context of that? By the 30th chapter, 29th chapter, Jeremiah is saying, you guys are going to lose your eyes. You're going to be destroyed. If you don't bow down to the king of Babylon, surrender, surrender, surrender. We won't surrender. And Jeremiah is going, surrender. No, we won't surrender. And here's this thing. And finally gets to the 29th chapter, and here's this one verse, and the context is, Yahweh wants raham with these people, but you have to obey him. They refuse to obey him. They don't have it. There is no obligatory covenant. There is no covenant if you don't obey it. A husband and a wife, if a wife is married to a guy that never does any of his promises and he breaks the covenant, there is no covenant. The covenant is only as valuable as the people that are in it. But Abraham wandering the desert not knowing where he was going for the city whose maker and builder was Yahweh. Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed. And I think if you read Hebrews 11, it really just shows people that want Yahweh. Who are you? I mean, even who would have their son die for me? If somebody died for you, wouldn't you want to know who they are?
Yeah.
Let alone they ask their son to die for you. Would it be easier for you, for them to die for you or their son? No, they ask their kid to do it. You're like, who are you? Show me. And he'll say, come. I'll show you. Be following me. And that's the purpose of our life. And when we read, illustrations of people who, I like to say, were living in raham. It would have been Joseph before Pharaoh. Pharaoh just cut a guy's head off 2 years earlier on his birthday. Remember that?
Yeah.
What kind of guy was Pharaoh? I don't know. But it's his birthday. Oh, that one guy go. Why? That's not very much fun. Try cutting that guy's head off. Well, we don't know the story or the context, but that's who Pharaoh is. Cuts the head off the baker. All right. And Pharaoh says, are you able to interpret the dreams? Joseph says, not I, but unto Elohim. Let me retract. Let me retreat into the womb of Yahweh. Yahweh can do it. And here he is. He that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that abases himself shall be exalted. Yahweh is before Pharaoh too. He watches Joseph. Joseph didn't get any pat on the back for saying that for the Egyptians. They don't care. Yahweh cares. So do his angels that are witnessing and watching. Then Yahweh said, then Yahweh, he's in the womb. There's the benefits. Here's the interpretation. Boom. Not just that. But then here is a solution. Anybody who's been in business or sports, it's easy to point out what's wrong. But when somebody comes up with a solution, he goes, a 25% tax. That's a win-win. And if he's wrong, we'll cut his head off. Nehemiah living in the Raham, because here's Nehemiah, and here a guy comes and says, we have to go bar ourselves inside the temple. And he's a trusted person, and Nehemiah's going, holy moly, here's this sudden dread, this doom, or whatever. If you read this, he's going, does Nehemiah just talk to anybody? Because they're trying to trick him. Hey, we got to meet over here. And he keeps saying, I can't, I'm too busy. I can't. You see, he doesn't meet people, but this guy, he meets a trusted person. And somehow the trusted person tried to infect him with rebellion, mm-hmm. to scare him into fleeing. And he goes, then I perceived this was a lie. How did he get that? How did he know that? He would have separated himself. Yahweh, you are an Elohim of peace. If it's not coming through peace, if I'm shaken or my blood pressure is up or something like that, it doesn't mean it's not it. I got to get peaceful. Bring in a minstrel. Play some music. I got to get peaceful. I can't hear him if I'm not peaceful. And when he got peaceful, guess what happened? It's a trick. It's a trap. Can you imagine if you're Nehemiah? Got you, sucker! Oh man, they were that close. Almost got me. Yeah. Almost got me. But that's a benefit of living in the Raham. I like to think of Daniel with the lion's den. Now, I'm not saying that all of our life is a hurricane. But for the most part, people have no idea what's going to happen next. If you're outside Yahweh's will. But Daniel is being threatened. Either you bow down or you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's take a step back and act like Daniel. Okay. Okay. Let's just confront fear first. Everybody dies. Everybody we know is going to die. Okay?
Right.
That stinks. But there's a resurrection. We're not supposed to be like the unbeliever without hope. Okay? And here's Daniel just going, okay, so I'm going to die. Anyways, it's just, am I going to now abandon Yahweh, who's advanced me? I'm in my 80s now. He has never left me. Even if it's a little shady, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. Would I now abandon him? No. And so I heard somebody once say, when you're not sure what to do, err, make the mistake on discipline. I'll go discipline. And I can imagine here Daniel, his flesh, we have to submit or you're going to be surrounded with roaring lions. But on the contrary, spiritually, it could have been Daniel was already surrounded with roaring lions because the adversary is as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. And when we leave Yahweh's Raham, his Emet, his Hesed, when we're not obedient, we leave the eye of the storm and boom, he would have got... You're already surrounded by lions.
Yeah.
Okay. It didn't say Satan's a lion. It's as a roaring lion. But it's a whole other perspective. That I don't have to be panicked to do anything. And that's where in Hebrews 2, it says Jesus Christ or Yehoshua, he says, he paralyzed him who had the fear of death. For most people, okay, death, fear, the end is right here. They'll talk. They'll talk. But then here, when Christ got up, wait a minute. Moses never saw that. Jeremiah never saw that. Not a resurrection to where there is no more corruption. They never saw that. Can you imagine the angels that got to see it? The messengers going, he's back! Yes! And you can imagine, it says that it paralyzed, it broke the back of the adversary. Now we can look at other believers and say, we can look at death in the face and say, I will not leave the eye of the storm. I will not leave being underneath the pillar. no matter what the consequences, because the purpose of my life is not to preserve other things, it's to fulfill His calling in my life. For He gave His Son so that I would live for Him. Where you go, I will go. People quote that all the time with Ruth, but will they do it? Will their feet actually do it if people abandon them, if people mock them? Moses did. Will I? I don't know. I hope so. But if you love somebody, see, your number one covenant is not lateral. It's vertical. And one day you're going to go before His Son. And all of this is going to be seen. It's going to go through the fire. That should strengthen you. And then when people look at you with death or fear or something, we should say, let me talk to you about what it's like to live inside the Raham. Because when I am inside the Raham, I'm not worried about the rest of this stuff. I don't have to. The difference is we have freedom of will. We can look outside. Aren't you glad you didn't get to see outside your mom's womb? Mm-hmm. You know how scary that would have been? Ah! She's sleeping on her side. She's going to the bathroom. You're seeing all this. Ah! You don't want to see it. But then we can show people that we are not to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. They're going to get up again. Okay. And with me, with His Raham, with Yahweh, he got me, he goes, Aaron, everybody's going to die. How are you going to live for those who need you right now? Constant fear? Mm-hmm. Panic? You're trying to empathize with them? Empathize with Him. Receive your Raham. Receive your Shalom. Do you have shalom? When you have shalom, this peace, the peace that rises above every mind. Rejoice in Yahweh. Again, I say rejoice. Let your considerateness be made known to all men. The Lord is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to Yahweh. Then the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, will guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Ha! Nobody would ever voluntarily run into a hurricane. You're not thinking. Your heart's not right. Get your heart and your mind right by rejoicing. Yahweh, the day before my birthday, I went to go sing Him a song. And here I am trying to give Him a song. And it's funny because the songs that I get led to do are not things that I'm good at. And I'm not a good artist. I'm not a good singer. Nobody asked me to sing. So He asked me to sing things that I'm kind of making them up. I'm like, this sounds horrible. I mean, here's this chord. I mean, here's a melody. But it is through those acts of obedience that I'm doing that He teaches me. Mm-hmm. But I gotta be obedient. And it sounds terrible. If anybody was listening, it didn't sound terrible to Him though. Mm-hmm. I like to think of a 2-year-old singing their ABCs or singing the Shema to Yahweh. Oh. So I'm singing, and then these words came out of my mouth. It says, about 46 years ago, this world was not your home. And here, I'm talking to Yahweh is talking to me through me. 46 years ago, this world was not my home. What was my home 46 years ago? It was this. And inside your home, you had everything you wanted and you never wanted to leave. But I forced you out into another world. And you started thinking about that. Who would ever go back into the womb? What a great illustration each day that Yahweh calls us from our comfort into the Raham again. Because He calls Gideon. Gideon's pretty comfortable, right? No, Gideon, the Raham's over here. Go cut down your dad's stuff.
Aye, aye, aye.
Gideon's going, man, I hope you're right. Because if you're wrong, it's not just me dying. Gideon's a mighty man of valor. He's thinking about thousands of people are going to die. And Yahweh met him. He did the same thing with David. Here's David over and over again. Who am I? And think about David sparing. Why would he spare Saul's life? He wanted Yahweh's Raham. Here he is. It's the principle. And the principle thing is usually what gets me in trouble. It's the principle. Here's Saul. Father is hunting me like a dog. He should die. And here he is, but he's in this peace in the Raham. So each day, we get an opportunity to enter back into the Raham. And when we enter back into the Raham, this is where the peace is. This is where the Shalom is. Then He'll tell us what we need to do. And you can imagine, would it be possible for a pregnant woman, if she was a prophetess of Yahweh, to go to war and the baby be okay? Of course! Right? That's us!
It's happened.
Where are we going? Don't worry about it. Are you going to eat Doritos again? But Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for helping us, each one of us, like Dad's teaching last week. Christ did not pick our positions. It says Christ's Father, His God and Father, picked our position, so we should thank Him for it. Not ask why. Thank you for helping us understand our positions so that we can get work done. We thank you for showing us these words, Raham, that my father dug up as a treasure, and I'm able to just kind of show it off. We thank you for tonight, for President Trump, for Adela, and for Phyllis Brown, and thank you, Father, for these words. Know, my children, that I have more blessings than you could ever imagine, and as I talk to you, I inside you, sometimes you say, this was for me, and you're right. I see your heart, and I specifically draw things up to mend you and to strengthen you, that this is about us. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.